Blog Talk Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Burke Allen Show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Our studio number is 718-506-1944, 718-506-1944. You can also send us your questions in our instant chat room. Our guest today is author Zachary Bartles. The new book is Playing Saint from HarperCollins Thomas Nelson Publishing, and it's a great story of a mega minister on the rise, living the dream, and then things start to go horribly wrong. It's a fantastic thriller, and it's great for this time of the year when the leaves are falling off the trees and all eyes turn towards Halloween. Zachary Bartles is our guest today. Zach, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Berg.
So you have yourself a ministerial background. I've got to ask you, how much of Parker Saint was in you, or is this completely a fictitious thing?
You know, they brought me down to Nashville to actually talk to the sales conference about this book at Thomas Nelson. And when they introduced me, the editor said, and we think it's great that Zach is able to draw on his, you know, background as a pastor and a minister and a lot of his experience. And then I got up and said, yeah, if I had a nickel for every time one of my parishioners wound up being a demon-possessed serial killer, I'd be a rich man because, you know, this is all of it just right up. No, there's certain aspects of the character I think that are, you know, common struggles for pastors, glory seeking and kind of the cult of personality and stuff that's so prominent today. But much of it is just drawn from, you know, sprung full form from my mind and my imagination.
It's a fantastic read. Zachary Bartles is our guest today. You can visit him online at zacharybartles.com. The novel is Playing Saint. It's his debut novel, and if people come up to you in church and say, or on the street or in a bookstore and say, so what is this book about? In your own words, tell us about Playing Saint and this lead character, Parker Saint, in the book.
Well, Parker is kind of on the cusp of becoming everything he's hoped that he would become, kind of arriving. You know, many of us have that one thing that we're always pushing toward, and he is just about to get that, which is a book deal that's going to ride the coattails of a major kind of televangelist and launch him into a whole bunch of television markets, and he's going to become a household name to some degree. And then through a kind of petty confrontation he has with someone on an airline, he winds up getting in trouble with the law, and then in order to avoid a big public scandal and all the things that would go along with that, he agrees to serve as the expert consultant on a series with the police on a series of murders that have involved the occult and kind of religious elements and symbols and things. And he agrees to do that, but of course he's not an expert by any stretch on the occult or any of these things, so he's way in over his head and having to fake his way through it.
You know, as I read this book, it had a very cinematic feel, and then I learned later that you're a big movie buff. When you write a story like this, do you write it and visualize it like a movie? I mean, do you have an actor that you see as Parker Saint?
Not really, no, but I did actually write an earlier version of the same story as a screenplay. And the last novel that I wrote, it started out as a screenplay, too. So I try to write kind of cinematically because I love... my favorite medium is definitely film, and my favorite books, even the classics, often feel like you're watching it as you read it because of the way it moves around the action and the point of view and that sort of thing.
Our guest is Zachary Bartles. His brand new novel for HarperCollins, he's Playing Saint. It's his debut novel. Now, you've been a minister for almost a decade now. but yet this is the furthest thing in the world from sort of what you might imagine from Christian fiction. It's not stodgy. It's not at all preachy. And I wonder if that was intentional on your part to try to bring these themes into to the secular world.
Yeah, I don't know that I intentionally was trying to appeal to people who were not Christians or were not church people. And really, the CBA or the Christian book market has evolved to the point where you know a lot of books are no longer kind of the hokey, preachy, you know, somebody has a conversion scene at the beginning of the third act kind of thing. That's kind of going by the wayside. I think what I just do is write what I like to read, the kind of stories I like to consume, and usually those have some kind of spiritual or supernatural element to them, but aren't propaganda posing as entertainment. I really, that rubs me the wrong way.
And by the way, Plank Saint available in bookstores everywhere all over the country and also online at ZacharyBartles.com. And I'm going to ask you a personal question here. As a minister, what are your thoughts on these televangelists and these guys like Parker Saint aspires to be and the guy he sort of looks up to, this mega church pastor and in the book? Is it true that maybe those guys are getting a little further away from the tenets of faith and sort of losing the path by pursuing all that? What are your thoughts?
I want to be really careful not to imply that anyone who has a big platform or a lot of people want to hear and read and watch is somehow compromising their principles. But I think the temptation's there, even at the small local church level where I am, to kind of build up yourself and make it about me, and I do that by making it about you, the person in the pew, and I make you feel good, so you want to come back to me more and more. When Jesus, you know, obviously taught, if you find your life, you'll lose it. You've lost it. If you lose your life for my sake, you'll find it. Martin Luther called that the theology of the cross, and he pitted it against what he called the theology of glory, which is, you know, in his world, which was 500 years ago, he looked around at all the grand cathedrals and all the Christian princes and all the people who had everything they could ever want from a worldly point of view, and he said, you're looking for God where you would expect to find him, in a palace, you know, on a throne, in the midst of all this gold, when really the place we find Jesus is where you would least expect to find him, which is, you know, in a food trough as an infant, rather than in a palace, or hanging on a cross, naked and abandoned and being executed. So I think insofar as people try to kind of grow their ministry brand or grow their own influence by appealing to the theology of glory and kind of the outward success and the really bright white smile and the kind of syrupy stuff, that is losing the way, because it goes in the 180 degrees opposite direction of what Christianity was originally about.
Great insight from our guest today, Zachary Bartles, the author of Playing Saint. Fantastic new book from HarperCollins, Thomas Nelson Publishing. If you've got a question or a comment for Zach, our phone number to call in is 718-506-1944. Zach, people are saying some pretty great things about this book. Library Journal said it's an intrigue-filled thriller. RT Book Reviews, gripping and realistic. Stephen James, who's a best-selling author, said it's a thought-provoking exploration into the power of faith and the reality of evil. When people say these things about something that started off as just an idea in your head, how does that make you feel?
That's kind of surreal. Yeah, I've been really excited about the response to the book, getting, you know, tweets and mentions by a lot of people that I have read for years, which is very cool. And it's exciting to think that. And when I say that, you know, it's not propaganda posing as a book, there is a theme to it. I think any entertainment worth its salt is going to have something to contribute. And the idea that what I have to contribute and what I want people to think about is getting out into the hands of people, readers and consumers. That's exciting.
Zachary Bartles, our guest today, the author of Playing Saint. That's the new book from HarperCollins, Thomas Nelson Fiction. And when we come back after the break, Zach, I want to get into it with you about these secret Vatican operatives and the sort of inside knowledge you might have about what's going on with the Catholic Church. More with Zach Bartles right after this on the Burke Allen Show. Hang on.
Over 14 million people witnessed his emotional story of survival and triumph on national television.
I've been doing this now for so long, like ever since I was a kid.
Millions more voted him their favorite in a landslide win.
The winner is...
And now, you can be a part of the experience live.
Landau Eugene Murphy!
Landau Eugene Murphy Jr.
Ain't that a kick in the head?
Your America's Got Talent winner.
I've got you.
Landau Eugene Murphy Jr.
Under my
live. Performing classics from the Great American Songbook and his Columbia Records debut CD, That's Life.
That's Life.
Landau Eugene Murphy Jr.'s That's Life Tour. The one concert event this year you absolutely can't miss.
See Landau Eugene Murphy Jr. live in concert. For a full listing of concert dates, log on to LandauMurphyJr.com. This is the Burke Allen Radio Program. A classic from the 80s, the Greg Pin Band with a breakup song, and they don't write them like that anymore, and maybe they do. This is a great new book that we're talking about today from Zachary Bartles. It's called Playing Saint. It's from Thomas Nelson, HarperCollins Fiction. Zach Bartles is our guest. The number 718-506-1944. All right, Zach, in this book, you've got Parker Saint, who's an up-and-coming minister. He's on his way to being a broadcast celebrity, a best-selling author. He's got a big job at a mega church that's doing really well. And then things go completely wrong. He winds up as an expert, so to speak, trying to help out the local cops with a string of murders. And then these shady guys, secretive guys, show up from the Vatican. There are three of them, and they're after a mysterious relic, and there's a centuries-old conspiracy. What's up with you and the Catholic Church?
Well, I don't know if you mentioned I'm a Baptist minister, so I'm not affiliated in any official way with the Roman Catholic Church. But when my mother-in-law was helping us pack up our stuff, when my wife and I were moving from Grand Rapids to where we are now, she took me aside and kind of really, she's old school Lutheran, and she said, "Why is it that you have three DVDs about Pope John Paul II?" You know. It seems like you have an unhealthy interest in this kind of stuff. I really do find my degree is in world religion, my undergraduate degree, and I really do find almost any tradition, religious tradition, very fascinating, especially Christian traditions. And I think the reason that those Vatican operatives wind up in the book is simply because I wanted to throw at Parker stuff that would make him completely feel out of his element. And one thing was he's this guy whose whole life is, you know, his assistant hands him his bottle of spring water, and then she comes and flattens his hair and makes sure everything looks perfect. And instead he's at a crime scene and there's bodies and he's feeling like he's going to throw up. And then the spiritual aspect was kind of he's very invested in this kind of modern, glossy, very kind of corporate Christianity, and he comes crashing into these very old school, almost medieval kind of guys talking about this relic that was lost centuries ago, and that also really throws him out of his element, and it makes him think about what he's accepted as being the form of Christianity that he assumes.
You know, there is a whole piece of that where they're after this mysterious relic, and I wonder what the fascination is for people with, you know, with Dan Brown's books, The Da Vinci Code, or with the Raiders of the Lost Ark movie. What is it that fascinates people about these mysterious things from the past? I remember as a kid, and I think I've got a few years on you, Zach, the search for Noah's Ark, remnants of Noah's Ark, was a huge thing. you know, why is that stuff important, those physical elements of Christianity?
I couldn't tell you for certain. I know that I share your fascination with it and the cultures in general, though. I mean, the idea of, I think it's the idea of something that in our minds is kind of ethereal, otherworldly, which is elements of faith. And we have what I would consider sort of a false distinction between, you know, worldly, physical things, and then on a different plane entirely is the religious realm. And a relic is really a place where those two things kind of come together, and you could, you know, touch in the Da Vinci Code, the MacGuffin is the chalice, and then they find out it's not the chalice, but the cup of Christ. You could touch the thing that kind of brings the physical and the spiritual together. And in the medieval church, that was what drew people by the thousands and thousands to come and climb upstairs on their knees and kiss the skull of John the Baptist, or, you know, the other skull of John the Baptist, or then the other skull of John the Baptist. And it became quite a large racket that people would travel great distances to kind of have a brief physical contact with the divine or the spiritual. And I think that makes for a really great arena in which to look at issues of faith and where does our faith touch our physical world and our everyday life. And is this just the kind of ceiling of my worldview, or is this down in the dirt with me every day as I do my work and as I interact with other people? Is it all spiritual? And I think that's something that I really do with that. And that's kind of become part of my brand too, the relic kind of thing. The second book, The Last Con, that's coming out in June, it really factors in there as well. And I think it's just a fascinating way to look at spiritual issues and give them on the page kind of a pin that's stuck right into this point right here. We're trying to find this thing, and it's physical in the book, but then thematically it's also a concept, it's a spiritual principle or something like that.
Zachary Bartels is the author of Playing Saint. It's a fascinating look at a guy who finds himself in trouble, and it's a fast-paced thriller, it's a page-turner, it's everything you want for a good autumn read. Let me ask you, as a Baptist minister, and we should mention to our listeners who are just tuning in, Zachary is the pastor of Judson Baptist Church in Lansing, Michigan. Been there for about 10 years now. Are you worried that people are going to come up to you and say, hey, man, you're a minister, it's all peace and love, and you've got people being hacked up and murdered brutally in this book? You know, how does that square up with your Christianity?
I'm not worried about that at all. My parishioners are the coolest people around, and those who have read the book have liked it quite a bit, or at least they've told me they have, which would be the polite thing to do, I guess. But I think that, I mean, when you read the scriptures, you're reading about a lot of battles and, you know, good versus evil, and that often manifests itself in the pages of scripture with bloodshed and violence and that sort of thing. And the idea that Christian books could never then kind of use the same mechanisms, that's bonkers. So, I've had a couple of bad reviews in the midst of a lot of really encouraging ones, and nobody has said what really was a deal breaker for me here was that there was a lot of, blood at the crime scene or anything. A couple of the religious publications have said things like, this is, you know, be warned, this is rated PG-13 or something to that effect. But I think I deal with it without having any death or violence or gore for death or violence or gore's sake. It always serves the forwarding the story and the characters and the theme of the book.
Talk to me about the book and the writing process a little bit. How does the idea come to you, and then how do you flesh it out? For example, do you know how it's going to end before you start writing, and then you have to fill in the middle? What does your writing process look like?
Well, I really usually don't put – I've written a few things now, and I don't put anything to paper until I pretty much have the whole plot down in my mind. And that's, you know, one of two major schools of thought. You know, the Stephen King and the people who follow that writing philosophy just go, and they don't know where it's going, and they kind of discover it. I'm being a preacher. I'm more verbal in how I like to communicate, so I carry a digital recorder with me. As I get ideas for a project, I just say them. Sometimes I'll say whole conversations that are going to wind up being dialogue, and then I put it down, and then I actually, the last book I just finished for HarperCollins, I had three of those foam boards, like a poster board size foam board, and they were divided into about 3-inch wide columns, and then I had printed everything out, and I put them on those columns and took up 3 foam boards at about 5-point font, and it was about 35,000 words, and the manuscript wound up being 105,000 words. So I had not only the whole story, but large chunks of it kind of filling themselves in before I started writing. That's my OCD showing through, I think.
Yeah, well, it sounds like you figured out sort of how to crack the code on writing a great novel, and Playing Saint is one of those. You've got another one on tap for next summer. Any advice to someone who's listening who says, you know, I've always wanted to write a book. I think I've got one in me. What would you tell them? What's the first thing they should do? What's their first action step?
First thing you should do is join a writing group. That's absolutely one of the best moves that a person who wants to write can take, because they can hold you accountable. So many people like the idea of having written something, and they have an idea of what they want to have written, but they hate the idea of writing it. And that's even okay, I think. But a writing group, a group of people that meets together in the coffee shop of your local bookstore or whatever, and each week hold each other, you know, what did you write? Let's review what you've written and give each other some constructive criticism and help along the way. That, I think, is the best way to do it. Find some sort of community that will help get you going on it. Because my experience is once you start writing, it fuels itself, and I've spoken at some writing conferences and stuff and talked to a lot of people, and I think that's a pretty common discovery, that once you get going, it's just those first, I'm trying to recall who it was, a famous novelist who said the most frightening thing in the world was the blank page on the typewriter. No one's going to know whether I'm right or not, so let's just say it was Hemingway. And that thing is just scary. Once you write, you know, you get half a page, now this book is part written, and now it's not as scary. And so I would always encourage people, you know, there's the old saying, if you want to be a writer, write. That's the main thing you've got to do. Don't worry about how many Twitter followers you have or how big your platform is or anything. Just write and throw yourself into writing. And I would also say get in with a group of people who will read your writing and be kind and gentle about it, but helpful. And when you get into a writer's block and a slump, they'll give you a little encouragement, maybe softly at first, and then kind of goose you a little bit and say it's time to get back in there. And that's probably my best advice.
Who do you like to read? You mentioned Stephen King earlier. Your books, Playing Saint, certainly doesn't feel like a Christian fiction book at all. I mean, it feels like a fast-paced thriller. It could be a John Grisham, for example. So who do you like to read?
I do like quite a few Christian novelists. I like Stephen James. He writes some suspense stuff, and he's got an endorsement on the cover of my book, which I was very happy to get. I like a lot of non-Christian stuff, Chuck Palahniuk, Dean Koontz, a lot of his stuff, if it isn't too kind of sci-fi-ish. I like a wide variety of things. There's a guy who does biblical war epics right now, who's kind of on the top of my stack of reading the top 2 or 3 books at any given time. His name's Cliff Graham. And talk about, like, violent books. These are taking wars from the Bible and trying to realistically portray what this campaign would have been like with David and his mighty men and stuff. And it's fascinating seeing the weaving in of the supernatural and the faith element with this army veteran writing, you know, really gritty, realistic stuff. I like anything where real life seems to kind of run into the territory that my real life is not likely to.
Well, hopefully your real life doesn't run into anything that resembles the guy in your book, Parker Saint, who's the lead character in Playing Saint. The book is from HarperCollins Fiction. The author is Zachary Bartles. You can find him online at zacharybartles.com. Book is in bookstores everywhere. Zach, thank you so much for joining me today, and best of luck with the book.
Thanks, Burke. Appreciate it.
You bet. I'm Burke Allen, live at our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. Thank you so much for listening. Now, make it a great day.